interesting place to start.
I was waiting for that.
Okay, Kedushas Levi for Parshas Beshalach, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Okay, Chaver, let's try. I picked out 14 pieces to learn. We'll see how... Why are you laughing? We'll see how it goes. Okay, we'll start with the first piece. We'll see how it goes. Yes, today's learning is Leiloi Nishmas Yonatan Pe'er Ben Amiram. And we hope that Asaf's brothers Neshama will continue to ascend to the higher realms. Okay, Vayisa Malach Elokim Aholich Lefnei Machane Yisrael Ve'amor Me'achareihem. But the Malach that was traveling in front of Klal Yisrael stood behind them. So the Berditcher, only the Berditcher could say a Torah like this. The very first piece in the Parsha. Ziyadua da malachim heim yoser gavoa mi Yisrael machmas kedushas. If I were to ask you, who's on a higher level, an angel or a Jew? So on some level you'd say, well, you know, I think about just the averas I did this week, and the malach's already better than me. I mean, the malach has an inherent kedusha. The malach is able to always serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The malach is a shliach, and he stays focused on his mission. He never strays from the mission. So you would say that inherently, the kedusha of an angel is greater than the kedusha of a Jew. However, that's only true, says the Berditcher for Efes. However, Kesha Hashem Yisbarach Mara Ahavaso L'Am Yisrael V'Oivis Yisrael, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu showers His love upon us, and Hashem is focused on us, and He expresses His love towards us, He looks towards us with His Ava, Oz Yisrael Him L'Mala Mikol Malachim Ala. When a Jew is receiving the embrace of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Parshas Beshal, I have a very special affinity towards Kedushas Levi Parshas Beshalach, because I once learned it with my brother, David. We once spent a long time learning. I don't know, it was just one day we learned Kedushas Levi on Beshalach. So my brother pointed out at the time, and I made a note of it at the time, it's probably like 10 years ago, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always loves a Jew. Meaning it's Lefiyah Makabel, right? Meaning Hashem doesn't love you more or less on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Beshas Kriyas Yamsuf. But when a Jew recognizes and lives with the awareness how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael Ba'ava, when a person feels that he's been selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to receive Hashem's love, so then he lives in a way that he's better than a malach. He becomes more elevated than a malach. So here, as Klal Yisrael have seen all the miracles of Mitzrayim and are about to experience Kriyas Yamsuf, V'nei Be'etz Kriyas Yamsuf, Hera HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avasol Yisrael. The love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Klal Yisrael B'Shas Kriyas Yamsuf was maybe like nothing in history. We felt so close to Hashem. What's the big proof? Give me an obvious proof. What are we saying? Az Yashir. Zeh Keli Vanveyo. Zeh, they were able to kiviyachul marin be'etzpah. They could point to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Point to Hashem, he just doesn't have a body, he's not physical. What does it mean to point to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It means that Klal Yisrael felt the embrace of a Kadosh Baruch Hu so clearly that ki'ilu, they were able to point to Hashem and say, we see Hashem in our lives. So when Klal Yisrael felt the love of Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayisrael l'mal mikulan, when a Jew feels the love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then he's the highest level. He becomes the highest thing possible, greater than any malach, and again, all the types of malachim. Malachim, Srafim, Ofanim, he's the greatest of all. And that's what it means, says the Berditcher. What a pshat. Vayisa malach elokim aholich lefnei machane Yisrael. The malach that usually went before Bnei Yisrael, meaning the malachim which usually have kedima in terms of importance, a malach which is inherently, seemingly, more kadosh than a Jew, because malachim don't make mistakes, and we do. But b'shas kriyas yamsuf, when the Jewish people knew who they really were, and they saw and felt the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the malach that was before them, where did the malach go? V'yamod me'achareihem. The malach stood behind them. Not just a geographical location. The malach was now not as important as the Jews. Perisha malachim shaholchem lefnei machane Yisrael. That the angels that usually went before Klal Yisrael, shem l'malim v'adregas Yisrael, going before us means that they're on a higher level than we are. But Peshas Kriyas Yamsuf, they stood behind us. She Yisrael hayu l'malam and amalachim, that the Jewish people again felt the love of Hashem and took us to a level that was higher than angels. Shashem Yisbarach hera lehem ahavasal. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu displayed His love for the Jewish people, maybe like never in history, during Kriyas Yamsuf. And again, a Jew who lives with that awareness that the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us more than anything will be able to be greater than an angel. He'll be able to reach Madregos. He'll be lifted up to Madregos, and he'll be able to believe in himself to such a degree that he'll be able to attain Madregos that are greater than any Malach. It's an unbelievable Torah. The Malach that was standing before them stood behind them. B'shas Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, we'll skip the next piece. And we'll skip the piece after that. It begins, Inyan Shem Ayin Beis. The 72 part name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in this Parsha. It happens to have a connection to our Masechta. Rashi talks about it in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Mem Hei. But we're going to skip that also for now. He asks an interesting question. He asks it twice. He brings it twice in the Parsha. We're not going to do either of the pieces. I'll just mention it outside. It's something to think about. The Radishiver quotes from the Al-Shech HaKadosh. The Al-Shech HaKadosh asks, why can't the man be collected on Shabbos? Or why couldn't the man descend on Shabbos? It rains on Shabbos. It snows on Shabbos. So why couldn't the man fall from the heavens on Shabbos? Good question, huh? What was the problem with the man? The man can't come down on Shabbos, but rain and snow can? The rain which waters the ground, how can God water the plants on Shabbos? It's an interesting question. Because we believe, based on the Talmud Yerushalmi and Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the Torah. So he asks us a question on Hashem. Hashem, we're not allowed to water plants on Shabbos, so how are you allowed to water plants? We're not allowed to go from one Rishus to another Rishus, so how can you go from your Rishus up there to send things down to our Rishus down here? It's like a person who throws something from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab. Okay, so he quotes that from the Al-Shech. It's a very interesting question to think about. But again, we're going to skip that piece. We're going to turn to the piece that begins right after that. Vayashav Hayam Lifnos Boker Le'isano. That the water went back to its strength, went back to its place. Everyone see it? Who's got the page? Kufnun?
Kufnun Bet.
Kufnun Bet. Vayashav Hayam Lifnos Boker Le'isano. Perish. Machmas Shahayam Ra Godel Tanuk Hashem Yisbarach Mehabekia. When the sea split, and it saw the pleasure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got from watching the sea split, whatever that means, Shal Yado Yomer Yisrael Shira, and that it was going to be such a celebration that the Jews would sing the ultimate Shira Az Yashir. When the sea saw such a remarkable Tanug that Klal Yisrael got, that Hashem got from its actions, from splitting, the water didn't want to go back to its place. Lo Ratza Lachzer, it didn't want to go back. It wanted to stay split forever. That the Jewish people should forever be able to see the miracle before their eyes and continue to sing Shira. It wanted to be a source of constant song, that it should forever remain split. Now again, Az Yashir did become a constant song. We sing it every day. Right? But the water, when it saw what it had accomplished by splitting in accordance with the Ratzon Hashem, the water said, wow, I never want to go back to my old ways. Mishum hachi v'yashav hayam liftos boker le'isano l'tanai sheyikra rak l'moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom. But the water knew that there was a deal. There was a deal that had been made, that it has to split, and that it has to go back to its place, right? And that was upsetting for the water. But the water, when it felt that, when it saw the tanug that it achieved for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for Klal Yisrael, it didn't want to go back to its place. And with this, we can answer the question of our Rebbe from last year, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Because the Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks, V'al pizeh meturetz kushes, Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks, my Rabusa Deyam. We think of Kriyas Yamsuf as being such a big miracle. But the truth is, a lot of water in history split. It's not the only water that split. My Rabusa Deyam, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, the Yarden split for Klal Yisrael later in history. Na'ar Ginai split in the Gemara in Chulin for Pinchas Ben Yair. So for Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, who was a very chashuv tana, not making light of it, was able to split the water for himself. So what's the big chiddush? Klal Yisrael split the water on the way to Eretz Yisrael. There's many times water split. So why do we make such a big deal out of Kriyas Yamsuf? The answer is, says the Berditch, I'll answer that question. But based on what we explained, it makes a lot of sense. When the water first split, the water didn't realize what a pleasure it would be to split. It had to do something unnatural. It felt, this is strange, this is foreign, it's not my way to split and to dry up. But the water did it because God said to do so. After the water did it and it saw the tanug, the pleasure that it gave Klal Yisrael and Hashem, it was a no-brainer. It wasn't unnatural at all, it was totally natural to split. So therefore, says the Berditchever, Hayardin v'Nahar Ginai, when the Yardin split for Klal Yisrael, when the Nahar Ginai split for Pinchas Ben Yair, Kvar Rau HaTanuk HaBorei Baruch Hu, Sheigia MeBikias Yamsuf. It was already able to learn from Kriyas Yamsuf what a pleasure it is. But to be the first one to split, that was a chiddush. Mishum hachi ba'ava rabba ratzu shivko. The fact that the water was able to later in history split, it already knew how chashuv it is to split. It already knew how much pleasure that gives HaKadosh Baruch. What a good thing it is for Klal Yisrael. Ma she'en ken hayam, da'adayin lo ra kodem b'kiyaso tanu gabore Havi Rabusa. But by Kriyas Yamsuf, the water didn't realize. The water was being asked to do something, again, very unnatural. It's a very chashuv limud. Because sometimes a person feels that Torah and mitzvot is an unnatural thing. The Torah asks me to do things which are against my natural senses. It goes against my natiya, it goes against my emotions, it goes against what feels right. And it feels unusual. But when a person with Mesiras Nefesh is willing to split, is willing to go against his nature, right? One of the reasons, anyone know what the Medrash says? What caused the Yamsuf to split? Hayam ra'a vayanos. Right? We say it in Hallel. So some, the Gemara says, and so to the Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the water with Mesiras Nefesh. That's one pshat. There's a Medrash that says that the Yamsuf saw the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Whatever that means. And there's another Medrash that says, Hayam ra'a vayanos. Hayam ra'a vayanos. What did the water see that caused it to flee? Arono shel Yosef. The bones of Yosef HaTzadik. So the Ishbitzer explained that Yosef HaTzadik was able to split the water. Why? If you look in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim, everything in the world is made up of either fire or water or wind or earth. Different represents different emotions. Water represents taiva. So Yosef HaTzadik, the Ishbitzer said, the Yosef HaTzadik says to the water, water, I know a thing or two about water. I was seduced by Eish HaPotifar for a year. And I was able to do something unnatural, which was what? To say no. So I was able to control my water, my taiva. So therefore, Yosef HaTzadik says, I can tell the water, you also need to do something which is seemingly unnatural for you. I did something unnatural for me. I was a 17-year-old, handsome young man, sold by my family, living in the most sexually immoral place on planet Earth, Ervas Ha'aretz, Mitzrayim. And I did something unnatural. So I command you the water, you also have to do something unnatural. It's b'schus Yosef HaTzadik. But the Ishbitzer. But you see from this piece from Kedushas Levi that when a person does something unnatural, what at first seems unnatural is really a tremendous tanug. When you do the Ratzon Hashem, at first it feels awkward. Being from feels awkward when you're not used to living that way. But when a person gets more connected to Torah and Mitzvahs, you start to see the whole world as being weird and awkward. And Torah and Mitzvahs makes a lot of sense. Right? And then it's an unbelievable pleasure. So the Chiddush of Kriyas Yamsuf was it didn't have anyone to learn from. Right. The later water bodies of water that split, they could learn from the Yamsuf to see what a pleasure it is. Right. This person did it, and you know, the Yamsuf did it, and it turned out okay. So the Yarden says, we'll do it also. Nahar Ginai says, I'll do it also. Right. We also have to learn from those who came before us. We have to look at Tzaddikim, who get tremendous pleasure from Torah, from Mitzvot, from Kedusha, and say, you know, what are they experiencing that I'm not experiencing? To trust that they're not faking it, and that they actually are getting pleasure from it. And if it seems foreign to us, it's because we're not immersed in it. We're not involved. Yeah.
People say that all of the waters, doesn't matter, say all the waters.
Yeah, all the waters in the world split. Right.
So they already split.
Right, so they are, right. That's true, they got a free ride based on the Yamsuf splitting. Okay, yeah. Okay, let's do the next piece. Isa b'medrash. The medrash tells us, Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeyu. Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeyu. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, that they will not leave quickly. Dibim mitzrayim holchu b'layla. That in Mitzrayim they left at night, but in the future we're going to leave Gullis, the final Gullis, we're going to leave this Gullis by day. What's the problem? The problem is they did leave by day. Mitzrayim they left by day. It's a Pella. It's Mefurash. The Klal Yisrael went out by day. Where does it say that? They made preparations at night. That was part of the irony that they were prepared to leave so quickly and they didn't actually leave so quickly. So what does it mean in Mitzrayim we left at night and in the future we're going to leave by day? That's what the Medrash says. It's not true. In Mitzrayim we also left by day. So the Berditchever says it's talking about spiritual night and spiritual day. In Mitzrayim we left in a state of spiritual darkness. What does that mean? Efes deramzu shiyatsu balayla shayachoshech me'aseichel. They were spiritually, intellectually, they were darkened. Delav mitzad zuchusam yatsau. They didn't go out. The Yitzhiyah was not from their merits. Okay, the Chazal say that they had two mitzvos. Hashem gave them Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. Hashem gave them a couple of mitzvos, HaChodesh Zalachem. They had a couple of things. But they didn't have the Torah. They didn't have the Torah yet. And they were on the 49th level of Tumah. So when it says that they left at night, it means they left in a state of spiritual darkness. They didn't have a clarity, a mental clarity. Kamaymer Chazal, Dikitrik Hasar Manishtanu V'chulim. Right, as as Rav Mata told us yesterday, right, quoted in the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, that there was a taina against Klal Yisrael. The angel said, why are the Jews different than the Egyptians? Manishtanu elu mielu. Why are these ones different than these ones? The Jews have a lot of Averus and the Mitzvah have a lot of Averus. Why should the Jews be saved? So we didn't have the Schosim. Rach mitzad, rach mei Hashem yisparach yatzu. They went out, b'schos HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. But that's what it means to leave at night. However, today, we get to leave by day. In this galus, we can leave by day. What does it mean we can leave by yom? Amnam la'asir yatzu by yom. But in the future, the Jewish people are going to have a yitziyah by yom. Sheyeir sichlam, that their minds, that their souls, their neshamas are going to be illuminated. Shekvar yesh lem Torah. We have the Torah. Shekimu mitzvosav, that we're able to mekayim mitzvos. U'mitzad zuchusam yigalu. And we can earn the geula. We don't need to be schlepped out of desperation. Lo yuchal lismameya, they couldn't wait a second longer. So they got dragged down on the 49th level of Tumah. La'asid lavo, now we don't have to sit back and wait for Hashem to have rachmanis on us. We can earn it. We could try to create the Yitzias Mitzrayim. There was a beautiful line that the Divrei Chaim said to his daughter once. The Divrei Chaim's daughter came to visit, she was living in Russia at the time, and she came to visit her father in Poland. And when she was leaving, she said to her father, I'm dreading going back to Russia. So he said, why? He said, because the Russians, they're so spiritually, the religious oppression in Russia is so bad, it's worse than Mitzrayim. The Russian government, they're worse than power, they're worse than Haman, it's the worst. It's so bad there. Yeah? So what did the Divrei Chaim say to his daughter? He said, you're wrong. He said, you're totally wrong. He said, because we have something the Jews in Mitzrayim didn't have. You can't say that Russia is worse than Mitzrayim, because we have something that the Jews in Mitzrayim didn't have. What do we have? We have the Torah. And with the Torah, you can survive any situation. You can be bigger than the situation. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Klal Yisrael had the original Yitzhiya Balayla. Spiritually, they were in a dark state. But Lassid Lavo, now we have the Torah. We can earn it. V'zeh Shemesayim B'hai Kroh. And that's why the Pasuk ends, that same Pasuk in Yeshaya, ends, U'ma'asifchem Elokei Yisrael. Ki machmas zuchusam. Oz miyachid abore shemo aleihem. L'kro Elokei Yisrael. Who's going to gather us in the final Golus? Elokei Yisrael. God who says, I'm proud to be the God of the Jewish people. Because they have the merits and they've earned it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us in a very favorable way. Okay? So that's something we need to keep in mind. That it's possible for a Jew to earn the geula and not only beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachmanis on us because we're so pathetic and in such a lowly state. Okay, we'll skip the next little piece. We'll go to Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu. Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu Es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. We'll just skip the next one little piece and we'll go on the first Vayosha Hashem. Levar halashon bayom hahu. Vayosha Hashem bayom hahu. Hashem saved us on that day. It's kind of a pointless thing to say. What do you need to say bayom hahu? Levar halashon bayom hahu. Dihine, again, this is mamish kedushas levi l'shitasa. It was mamish's hashkafas achayim. Dihine kol haolamos lo nivro ele bishvil Yisrael. We have to remind ourselves that the whole reason the world was created and all the worlds were created. Or for who? For Klal Yisrael. Kamosha Pirish Rashi on the Pasuk, Bereshis Bara, Bereshis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikra Reshis. On behalf of the Jewish people, we're called Reshis. We are the Tachlis of the Bria. Hashem created the world for us. Nimsa, Kishachas V'Shalom Esar Li Yisrael. So when the Jewish people are in trouble, when it's a time of struggle, when the Jewish people are being oppressed and they're suffering and they're struggling, physically, spiritually, so who comes to fight for us? Who comes to fight for us? If we're the purpose of creation, who comes to fight for us? You know who comes to fight for us? Creation. Creation itself. The world itself. Time, the concept of time, which is a created concept, comes to fight for Klal Yisrael. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, come and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you created us, you created the world for Klal Yisrael. How could you let them suffer? So, Vayosha Hashem, Bayom Ahu, says that Bayom Ahu, the days themselves, time itself, the world itself came to fight for us. Look what he says. Va'omrim, the world says for us, when Klal Yisrael are experiencing Eitz Tzara, Az hayamim melamdim zchus al Yisrael, then time and the days themselves come to melamed zchus on Klal Yisrael. Va'omrim, and so to speak, the world says to Hashem, Halo lo nivro el bishvil Yisrael. Everything, we were created on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Everything that exists. Every single thing that exists in the world is on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So if Klal Yisrael are falling apart, So the whole world comes to our rescue and says, what's the point of us existing? And that's what it means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us by Yom Ahu on that very day. Perish. The by Yom Ahu Atzmo, Hoshias Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. That the day itself came to save us from Mitzrayim. Shehayom Atzmo, Hayom Alam Yitzchus Al Yisrael. Amazing idea. That the whole Bria is rooting for us, and fighting for us, and trying to be Malam Yitzchus upon us. And again, the Jew has to live with that awareness, that he's the Tachas of the Bria. That the world wants to see you be successful. And when a Jew is not being successful, the world, so to speak, the Bria itself, time itself, the days themselves, rally on behalf of Klal Yisrael to try to save us. Okay, we'll skip the next pshat on Vayosha B'Yomahu, and we'll go to the very small piece after that, O Yomar. Okay, you have to file away this Berdichever for the first night of Pesach. Okay, don't forget this Berdichever. What's the greatest time of the calendar year? It's a lot of great times in the calendar year. But the Berdichever says in this tiny little Torah, O Yomar Vayosha Hashem B'Yomahu, Sheyesh Yomim, there are certain times where a Jew is able to, again, feel the presence of Hashem that much more and feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mashpia, his kindness upon us. V'hayom, now look at this line. Can't take a line like this lightly from the Kedush Slavi. V'hayom hayoser hamesugol hu yoma de pischa. The greatest day of feeling the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayav Adam Liros as Atzmo, Kiyul Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim, to feel like I'm re-experiencing the miracles of Mitzrayim, to feel I'm in the presence of Hashem, to feel that Kadosh Baruch Hu believes in me, even when I'm on the 49th level of Tumah. Hayom Ayoser HaMesugol, Hu Yom HaDePischa. Pesach. Pesach is the time where we feel Hashem's embrace more than any other time, and that's what it means, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu. That Bayom Ahu, this Kufa Sashana of Pesach, right? Again, whether it's the first day of Pesach, or whether it's Shvishal Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, wherever, whichever part of Pesach, I'm not sure. Is it the Lel Seder? Is it the end of Pesach? Is it all of Pesach? I'm not sure what he means by Yom HaDePischa. But Pesach is a time, a unique time, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers his love upon Klal Yisrael. And again, you have to file that away in the back of your mind, not to forget how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. And again, to tap into that Zman when it comes. Okay, for the sake of time, I'll skip a couple little pieces. Let's jump ahead. This is a really, really Chashuv Torah. Okay, let's go to the piece that begins. We'll do Az Yashir. See where it says Az Yashir? What page is Az Yashir on? Kuf Nun Hay. Okay, we'll do Az Yashir. But then the piece right after that, O Yomar, is the one that's really, really a sotistic. Especially for those who want to have a connection to Pnimiya Sator and Chasidus. But let's do Az Yashir first. Okay, we'll do Az Yashir first. Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael Sashira Azos LaHashem Vayamru Leimor. This is a nice little Torah. Says the Berditchver, Yesh lahavin da ha'ikir ha'simcha hu b'leif. When a Jew feels joy, where do you feel it? You feel it in your heart. The primary place of simcha is in the heart. So you might think that talking about the simcha or singing about the simcha takes away from the simcha. You understand why? Because when I allow it to spill over, when I have it bottled up inside my heart, right, it's protected, it's guarded within me. When I start to talk about it, when I start to sing about it, when I start to allow it to emerge from within me, you would think that it limits it, right? It causes it to dissipate. I'm scattering that feeling inside my heart, and I'm spreading it outwards, as opposed to allowing it to linger inside. So says the Berditchever, if the simcha is primarily in the heart, im kein matzorich ledaber ulashir be'es simcha. So why do people like to talk and sing, right? To talk about the simcha, to share the good news about the simcha, to sing about the simcha? Wouldn't that take away just the raw emotional feeling? It's beyond the words of the simcha. Doesn't it cheapen it when we try to talk about it or sing about it? But the Berditchever explains there's a reason why Jews sing. And there's a reason why Jews like to share good news. It's a chashuv thing, to share a piece of good news, to share a simcha. Va'inyin hu da simcha shebelev haisen efsekes l'sha u'liyoser. Because when the simcha is bottled up in one's heart, right, eventually, even if you try to keep it inside, eventually, it's not going to last forever. It's going to stop at some point. Everyone has those moments of great joy, and then moments of, you know, not feeling as elated. Aval kesha adam midaber diburim be'esim chaso. But when a person talks out the simcha, and he shares the simcha b'dibur, ha'simcha mispa'eles v'nisraba yoser v'yoser. Right? You might think he's taking away from the simcha, because again, let it be a private moment. Keep it in your heart. But when you share the simcha, and you spread the simcha, that allows it to have, again, more places for it to exist. V'lachein Am b'nei Yisrael k'shenikra hayam lifneiam. So when the Jewish people experienced Kriyas Yamsuf, ratu laharbos haSimcha uleshashaya imboram, they wanted to celebrate the Simcha with Hashem. They wanted the joy to be that much greater. V'shelo lahafsik, and they wanted Kriyas Yamsuf, that experience, to last forever. So they had to write a song about it, so they could continuously sing the song. Al kei nichlesu legeder hadibur, v'shoru lo b'nei elim. And they began to sing, b'chdei laharbos hatani, to increase the pleasure. It's an important yesod, because sometimes a person feels that if I try to share something good that I have with someone else, it's going to take away from me. It's not true. It's totally not true. Someone asked you, right, am I jinxing? Person's worried, it's going to take away. It's not going to take away. When you allow someone else to experience what you're experiencing, that's what v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is, according to the Ramban. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha means I have something good. Why should I not want my friend to also have something good? What, it's not as special to me if someone else also has it? If I have success in Parnassa, I shouldn't want my friend to have it? Why, it won't be as exciting to be rich because he's, you know, if he's also rich? It's more geschmack if I'm rich and he's poor, if I'm smart and he's stupid. If I get a good shidduch and he doesn't, you should get a good shidduch and he should also get a good shidduch. You should have good Parnassa, he should also have good Parnassa. Right? Well, that's v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, the Ramban says. You should want good things for other people. It doesn't take away. Because when it's a davar shebe kedusha, the way that the Svarim explained it, it's like a candle lighting another candle. When you share that fire with someone else, it doesn't extinguish the first candle. You didn't give away your candle. You didn't give away your flame. You increased the light. You gave someone else the flame. Right? So when a person sings, when a person shares that simcha, it doesn't take away the simcha. It allows the simcha to become bigger. V'zeo perish apasik. I'll take your question in a second. Oz yashir. Vayamru lemor. Oz yashir, they sang vayamru lemor so that they would continue to have what to talk about. Ratzalamar sha'amru adiburim b'chdei lemor yoser yoser. They sang in order to be able to say more and more and more. When a person has a good experience, try to attach it to a song. Try to attach it to a conversation. Share it with someone. Vizula ze ein lemilas lemor havana. Because without that explanation, the word lemor doesn't make sense. What does it mean vayamru lemor? But they said it in order to continue to say it. What's the lemur to others? Everyone sang the song. Who are they lemuring it to? But again, when you share it with someone else, it makes the simcha that much bigger. If you try to keep it inside, it might be more intense initially, but eventually it's going to fade. When you allow it to spread and to be shared with others, and you give it expression in the world, then it has a better chance of having a longer lasting impact. Yeah?
So what does Chazal mean when they say, at the beginning of the line, that's simply
right, the bracha is found in those things which are hidden from the eye. Right. There is a truth to that. There is a truth. The Chazal saith that if you keep something private, atznei alecha, simashem alekecha, that the bracha is sharoi on something that's samui min ha'ayin. That when things are hidden, right, there's a better chance that it can have bracha. Right, so you have to share it, not because you want, you're not sharing it with someone else for your sake, you're sharing it with them for their sake. You want them to have a part in the simcha, an emistic part of the simcha. You're not bragging, you're not pointing out to them that this is my simcha. You're showing that it's our simcha. That's what it says. Klai Yisrael wanted the celebration to be im boram, with Hashem. Right. They don't want to just celebrate what Hashem did for them. They said, Hashem, we want you to be part of the simcha. When they made a song and they made a dance out of it, when Miriam went out and led the women in dance, that gave it kiyum. Yeah. Right, you're saying that was the right. Interesting. I mean, was that the moment of Isarusa Dilatata to take a stand? Maybe. Could be. Interesting thought. Okay. Now let's look at the next piece. Yeah. David, you want to say something? Okay. Comes back to you, let us know. O Yomar. Okay, let's learn about Madregos and Torah. Let's understand that there are many layers to Torah. There are Jews, as the Berditch will tell us, who spend their whole life in the world of Pshat. And that's nice, but there's much more. There's much more. In every area of Torah, there's layers upon layers upon layers. Okay, and let's see how that's hinted to in our parsha. O Yomar. Ki b'chol makom asher nimsa b'torah seinu hakadosha milas lemo. Whenever you see the word lemor in the Torah, right? Vayomru lemor. Az yashir Moshe, vayomru lemor. What's the lemor? Kegon v'yadaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. It appears many times in the Torah. This is just one example, but many times v'yadaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Ha'inyan hu kach. Shereya Torah kodma la'olam. Torah, we know, preceded the world. Let's think about that Maamar Chazal for half a second. Torah preceded the world, yeah? What does that mean, Torah preceded the world? So the mitzvah of matzah, which is part of Torah, preceded the world? Matzah existed before there was a Mitzrayim? The mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim existed before Mitzrayim?
Sure.
Yeah? Oh. So what does it mean, Torah preceded the world? Right? The Torah is kadma la'olam. V'im kein eich shayach ba v'tim nahaisa pilegesh. For some reason, this is the pasuk that Rishonim and Sifrei Chasidus and Svar Makadoshim always use. Probably, I think the Ramban maybe used it first. It could be a Medrash used it first. The Medrash says, or, maybe the Medrash, I'm not sure if it's a Medrash. The Ramban for sure says. The Ramban has an essay called Maimer Torah Hashem Temila. And in that Maimer, the Ramban says that the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is not any more important than the pasuk V'tim Nahaisa Pilegesh La'alifas. That Esav had a son Alifas, and he had a Pilegesh whose name was Timna. If I were to ask you, which is a more important pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, or V'tim Nahaisa Pilegesh? So say, Shema, of course, is more important. But the Ramban says, no, it's all the Dvar Hashem, it's all Torah. The Timna, her name was Timna. Tuf Mem Nun Ayin. She's the Pilegesh, is the wife without a ksuba. Concubine. So Alifaz, the son of Esav, was half married to this lady named Timna. Who cares? Why do I even care? Why does the Torah write that? The answer is that, in a revealed sense, right? I mean, once history unfolds, yeah, there was a person named Alifaz, there was a woman named Timna, and Esav's son married her. That's very nice. But in Ptimius, there was a concept of Timna, Pilegesh, Haisa Pilegesh, that existed prior to Brias HaOlam. Now, you're going to say, what about free will? How does that work? Okay, good question. So let's see. So how do we understand V'tim Naisa Pilegesh prior to the world was created? Oshar HaSipurei Ma'isios Kodem Shnevra Olam. How do you understand Matzah? How do you understand any mitzvah in the Torah? So many of the mitzvahs in the Torah are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. But there was no Mitzrayim yet. So what was the mitzvah before the world existed? Elavada Ha'emes. Shekol HaTorah Kula Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Ramban writes in his Akdama to Torah, that the entire Torah is made up of names of God. The entire Torah is a name of Hashem. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch. V'hayu ba tzirufei osios razin v'sodos ne'alamim asher lo shezafsan ayin. And it's filled with secrets upon secrets, layers upon layers, hidden in different arrangements of the letters, break up the words differently, gematrias, rashi tevos, sofei tevos. It's filled with secrets that the eye has never seen. Even after everything that's permutations. Arrangements. Rearranging. Elashishtal shalusam lezeha olam ashafel nislabshu b'levush av. But as it descends to this lower world, it takes on what? A thick garment. One of my favorite pieces of the Torah, I have a sefer at home, from one of the Telzer Rosh Yeshivas, with Elia Meir Blach. And in that sefer, he also talks about this idea, and he explains it so beautifully. I always use this, I share this with some of you, but I'll chazer for those who haven't heard it before. Right? Rav Elia Meir Blach writes in his Sefer the same question. What does it mean, Torah before the world existed? And I always say, this is the answer to the high school kid who says, does God really care if? Right? To the rebellious high school kid who says, does God really care if? Plug in whatever you want. Does God really care if I wear tefillin? Does God really care if I turn on a light on Shabbos? Does God really care if I put my right shoe on before my left shoe? Does God really care if my lulav is a little bit split on top? Does any of this stuff really matter? So what's the answer to that question? Does God care or does he not care? So I always say, when I get asked that question, I always say, the answer is yes and no. There's something very holy that a person who says, does God really care? They're saying something very deep. They might be saying it just because they want to be Machal Shabbos, because it's more easy, you know, to rationalize in that way. But it's true. Let me ask you, tefillin, right? Tefillin, does God really care if you wear your tefillin, and if you wear them in exactly the right spot, and if your tefillin are perfectly square, does God really care? So the answer is yes and no. Meaning, If you think that the be-all and end-all is a black box made out of an animal hide that's strapped to your arm, right? Then something's off. There's much more to it. There's much, much more to it. So in a certain sense, is this what God really wants? And the answer is no, you're right. That's not what God really wants. The lowest expression of it, as it expresses itself in our world, is not what it's all about. That's what when the high school kid says, does God really care? You're right. You're sensing something deep. You're right. This seems too trivial to be the be-all and end-all. And he's right. It is not the be-all and end-all. However, the mashal I always give, imagine a person who's put in charge of a missile defense system. And his job is that if he sees on the screen that an enemy has fired a missile towards civilian territories, he pushes a button and he launches another missile to shoot the enemy's missile out of the sky. Yeah. So imagine there's an emergency, a missile was fired, and he shoots down the missile. And everyone says, wow, it's unbelievable. Someone comes to me and says, wow, it's amazing. It's amazing that you were able to stop the enemy. You know, they said if that missile would have hit, thousands of people would have been killed, and you saved all of them. How'd you do it? So he says, all I did was I pushed a red button. That's it. How did you stop a missile in the sky by pushing a red button? So obviously, what he meant by pushing a red button is that the red button is attached to a whole series of wiring, which is attached to a central computer system, which is linked to the rocket launcher, which launches the rocket to shoot down the enemy's missile. Yeah. So of course, the little red button that says launch on it is not the be-all and end-all. Right? But if you don't have that little button, so to speak, at the bottom of the chain, then you can't launch the rocket to save the people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, listen, there's a concept in Shemayim called tefillin. Depending on how Klal Yisrael's behavior goes throughout history, we'll see what that looks like at the end of the story. At the end of the story, you know what it looked like? Based on Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, it looks like a square black box that you wear on your arm and on your head. It could have been something different. Rabbi Elie Meir Bloch says in that essay, it could have been something different. Parah Aduma. Yeah? Rashi says, Parah Aduma is a response to Cheda Egel. So I'll ask you, what if there is no Cheda Egel? What if we make a better choice and don't do a Cheda Egel? So then what's Parah Aduma? It comes down in a different way. It comes down in a more spiritual way. Depending on our level, it'll become, the mitzvah itself will express itself more physically or more spiritually. There's a concept of matzah. In the end, it turned out being a flat cracker. Yeah, a wafer. It could have been something else. So we have to remind ourselves when I'm eating the matzah and the tzaddikim are going wild over a piece of matzah, you're like, chill out, it's just a stale cracker. Right? But it's not. It's mechla de memnusa. It's the food of amunah. And the tzaddik understands that this is the red button which attaches me, you know, to the highest heights. And yes, if my lulav is a little bit split on top, not in accordance with halacha, then it's a waste of time, then it's pointless. Because then the wires aren't attached, the pieces don't link up. So you say, does God really care about a stupid palm branch? And the answer is yes and no. If you think the palm branch is the be-all and end-all, then the answer is no. That's of course not it. But if you don't have that connection down below, you can't make the connection above. Yeah.
That's like why the Avos were able to do all the mitzvahs.
That's correct. That's correct. You know how Yaakov Avinu wore tefillin? Anyone know? How did Yaakov wear tefillin? The Chazal say that when Yaakov, in Beis Lavan, when he was taking the little strips of different types of wood and he was putting it in the water and the animals were reproducing at a rapid rate, yeah, when he was lying down those strips of what does Arshkel translate? Poplar? I don't even know what these things are. Yeah? When he was lying down those different strips of different types of reeds and grasses and wood and things to give the water this kalach to help the animals reproduce. When he's lying down those strips, that was like the strips that you put on your arm. That's what Chazal said. That was Yaakov's tefillin. The Avos HaKadoshim, exactly like Aaron said, the Avos HaKadoshim did the mitzvos much closer to the Shoresh.
Avram gave matzah.
Avram ate matzah. How would Avram eat matzah? The Beis Halevi says Avram ate matzah because the mitzvah of matzah is not based on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Matzah is part of the supernal will that preceded the world. Pach Shemen,
yeah.
Right? Pach Shemen, exactly. Pach Shemen, all these Hanukkah references by Yaakov and the Malach. What does that do with Hanukkah? Hanukkah's so far, you know, into the future. The answer is the tzaddikim who are beyond time know that the Torah exists on all dimensions prior to Zman. So therefore, look. So says the Berditchever, Aval mi shechanu Hashem deya bina v'haskel, a person of deep understanding opens up a chumash and looks at Timna haisa pilegesh alifas, and he's, oh, Timna haisa pilegesh alifas, wow. The tzaddik's going wild. He said, what? Calm down. Timna is some non-Jewish girl who married to marry some bad person, Alifa's son of Esau. Who cares? That's on par with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the answer is, if you know the secrets of Timna Haitzel Pilegesh, the answer is yes. When Megala Mesa Ha'iveris, Me'al Einaf, person who uncovers the blinders from upon his face, uncovers his eyes, Yira B'Toraso Niflos, we'll see that the Torah is filled with wonders, secrets of the Torah. I can tell you from my own life, times that I finally found like a pshat that explained like one of these areas of the Torah that you're like wondering, like, why did Hashem even write this? And then you learn a piece from Moshe Wolfson and he unpacks the whole thing for you and you're like, whoa. I had no clue what this said until I saw this. And that's still only level one. And there's layers upon layers upon layers. Amnon b'nei aliyah heim mu'atim, says the Radich, where there are few people who strive for this, who are truly b'nei aliyah in this regard. V'rov b'nei amenu mavinam atorah kapashto. And most Jews get stuck in the world called pshat. We're lucky. We're very lucky that we're sitting here learning Kedusha Slavi right now. Because most of Klal Yisrael doesn't learn it enough. So we're lucky. We're moving towards the inner track. We believe that there's deeper dimensions to Torah. That's a schus. It's a big schus. V'zeu v'yedaber Hashem al Moshe leimor. So what does it mean? Going back to our question. What does leimor in the Torah mean? V'yedaber Hashem al Moshe. Ratzalomar. Sha'adibur haya el Moshe b'signon ze. Shehu leimor la'am b'nei Yisrael. V'sheyachlu l'kablu l'avina al dalas ha'am. Hashem says, Moshe, we're going to learn Torah. But I'm also going to give it to you in a way of what? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, lamer. They'll be able to teach it to Klal Yisrael. The average person, you got to keep it simple, Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do we eat matzah? You tell them a nice story about why we eat matzah. We eat matzah because the Jews in Mitzrayim didn't have time to let the bread rise. And for the average person, that's good enough, lamer. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you know the secrets. And a Jew who wants more will say, Moshe, teach me more. I don't want the lamer version. I want the watered down version. In accordance with Dalas Ha'am, the lowliness of the people. Aval be'emes haTorah yesh ba'od dvarim begav, razin v'sodos ne'alam, and filled internally with all sorts of secrets. V'zeu oz yashir Moshe v'yomru leimor. Perish, ki yashira atzma yesh ba'sodos ne'alamim. Oz yashir is filled with secrets. The Mishnah Berurah himself writes, Chavetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah, that if a person says oz yashir every day b'simcha, it's mochlin lo kol avonosav, can erase all your averos. I don't know why, there's secrets. There's secrets in Az Yashir. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you should know there's secrets in Az Yashir. Aval Masha Amru Hu B'Bechinas Lemur. Tahainu Sheyavinu Avdal Asa. One of the most beautiful things about Torah is the fact that it can operate in all dimensions. Uchazer Avart from Pesach. We say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. And then we say, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. Why do we introduce the four sons by the Haggadah Shel Pesach with Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu? So Tzadikim explained, Rav Chaim Brisker used to explain, many people explain, that the greatness of Torah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael, Hashem, you gave us the most unbelievable book of all time. Let me ask you, a math book that a first grader uses, is it of any value to a college student? There's nothing there. There's nothing to learn there. There's nothing new to see there. You know that 1 + 1 = 2. You know that 1 apple + 1 apple = 2 apples. You got it. Right. And how about the college? How about the, you know, the advanced high-level calculus class that some college student is taking? Yeah. So a first grader couldn't understand the word of it. And yet, this one book is being studied by first graders and by Gedolei Hador. This exact same psukim. And they each have something very new and exciting and real to see in that. Right? So how did the Kodesh Baruch Hu make such a magnificent chachma that it operates, that it operates on all levels? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu Shenasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Thank you for giving us the Torah. Can I get Arba Banim Dibra Torah? The Torah has something to say to a Chacham, and to a Rasha, and to a Tam, and a She'eni Yodei Elishol. At each level of one's learning, you can find depth to the Torah. So that's what, again, the Baraditra is hinting to here. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the secrets. It pained Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazar Avar from the Chassam Sofer. It pained Moshe Rabbeinu. It was very difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to not be able to share the secrets with Klal Yisrael. What was the ultimate secret? What's the ultimate secret of Torah? What's the area of mitzvos of Torah that no one understands? The ultimate chok. Paraduma. Yeah? The ultimate chok. How is it referred to in Parshas Chukas? Zos Chukas HaTorah. Remember the Rechaim HaKadosh asked last year. It doesn't say Zos Chukas HaParah. He says, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the ultimate Chok. You know what Uncle List says on Zos Chukas HaTorah? Listen to this. Uncle List says, Da Gezeiras Oraisa. This is the Gezeira of the Torah. If I were to ask you, does the word Gezeira sound positive or negative? How do we usually use the word Gezeira? Negative. Right? Haman HaRasha made a Gezeira against Klal Yisrael. Yeah. The Gezeira. Gezeira usually means a harsh decree. So says the Chassam Sofer, why does it say Da Gezeira Soraisa? This is the Gezeira of the Torah. What's the harsh decree in Zos Chukas HaTorah? In Paraduma. So the Chassam Sofer says that it was a harsh decree for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the Medrash says that the only one who understood Paraduma in history was Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was sworn to secrecy. And the fact that he was sworn to secrecy and he had such deep, sweet Torah with no one to share it with, that was the biggest punishment. When a person loves Torah, when they hear a good idea at Torah, they're eager to share it with someone else. They're excited to share it. They can't keep it inside, like we learned before. They want to sing about it. They want to share it with someone else. Yeah. So a person has to realize that sometimes in life we're only getting the watered-down version of Torah. We have to be the types of people who turn to our Moshe Rabbeinu, who turn to our leaders, to our Rebbeim, to our Tzaddikim, and say, Rebbe, teach me the Emes. I don't want a cheap version. I want to know the secrets of Timna Haisa Pilagish Alifas. The Vilna Gaon said about himself one time, he said, on the words Alu Zeba Negev, I know 2,000 secrets of Torah. On those three words. The Vilna Gaon said, I have 2,000 Chidushei Torah, secrets of Torah, on the words Alu Zeba Negev. Anyone have one? But we have to know it's there. It's a different, we sit in front of a Chumash differently when we know it's there. We listen to Kriyas HaTorah differently on a Thursday morning when we know it's there. Right? We open our Gemaras in a different way, again, when we know that there's all these secrets and Pnimius hiding with it. Okay, it's getting a little bit late, so let's finish up with just a couple more, maybe two more Torahs. Yeah?
Who said the Baruch
Makom? Rav Chaim Brisker. I saw it once, B'Shem Rav Chaim Brisker. And Rav Mirsky's Haggadah Shal Pesach. He brings a B'Shem Rav Chaim Brisker. Okay, let's just do the next piece right after where we're up to. Oh, Yomer al derech shebeyarnu b'makom acher, sheikir hatainug v'asimcha, hu shezachinu la'avod es boreinu. We saw this part once. The greatest pleasure in the world is the fact that we have the schus to serve Hashem. Let's remind ourselves, on those days where I'm not feeling it so much and I'm not so in the mood to do mitzvos and to be bothered by Hashem, remind yourself it's the biggest schus in the world that you have the opportunity to do mitzvos. You can't take it for granted. Mitzvos are a privilege. It's mamish a big privilege. Remember, this is the Berditcher's Pshat in Parshas Eikev. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. Yeah? Schar mitzvah mitzvah means what? The reward of the mitzvah is simply the fact that God lets you do a mitzvah. The fact that he cares what you do, that's the biggest pleasure in the world. So again, Iker ha-tanug va-simcha hu, shezachinu la-avod es-boreinu, the biggest pleasure in the world is the fact that we get to what? To do the Ratzon Hashem, that he gave us his Torah. It's an amazing privilege. V'hu shezachinu la-avod es-boreinu. Borei olamos el-yonim v'tachtonim adin kitz. You're serving the King of all kings. Don't be schleppy about that. It's a big schus. It's a very chashuv position you've been given. V'chol ha'olamos ovdim osof, srafim, v'chayos, v'ofanim. Everything, the whole world, the angels, are serving him. V'afal pichin, Yaakov bachar lauka. But Hashem's focus is us. More than he's interested in the sun, the moon, the stars, the angels, the olamos, he's interested in us. Shu ovdim osof, that we should serve him. V'nimtza sh'havoda shanu ovdim esboreinu, hi atzmutainu gadol lanu. Again, when you're kids, they tell you, do mitzvahs and you'll get a prize. That's for babies. When a person gets older, a person doesn't need to be bribed anymore. You don't need to be given a treat to do mitzvahs. You realize the schus of living a Torah lifestyle is itself the greatest pleasure. V'zeh oz yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael. Look how he reads the pshat in the pasuk. U'mefarish ha-mikra, ma ha-yashirasam v'simchasam. Oz yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael. The Jewish people sang, what were they singing about? V'amar es hashira hazos la'Hashem. They sang over the fact that they were allowed to sing to Hashem. To sing over the fact they were allowed to sing to Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to sing to you. Thank you, Hashem, for not Hashem, fine, I'll daven because you want me to daven to you. Thank you for giving me this chos of davening to you. Thank you for granting me permission to learn your Torah. The Gemara says a guy is not allowed to learn Torah. Not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me Shabbos. Yeah, but sometimes I have a lot to do and Shabbos slows me down. Sanhedrin daf nun ches. A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. It's a gift that Hashem gave to you. So when a person looks at it this way, Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, they sang to Hashem, thank you for the zchus of what? As Hashira Zos LaHashem, that we're allowed to sing to Hashem. Perish al shizachu lomar Hashira lefnei amakom. Vayomru leimor, ratzal lomar, shekol amirasim haya al shizachu leimor. And that everything that they sang about was just the zchus that Hashem would allow them to sing. We have to realize mitzvahs are a big privilege, and not, God forbid, to see them as chas v'shalom a burden. I've told you in the past, when the Chafetz Chaim finished writing the Mishnah Berurah, he turned to Hashem and he said, thank you, Hashem, for the zchus of allowing me to write the Mishnah Berurah. Chafetz Chaim gave up his life for God. He wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing a big favor for Hashem by teaching us how to live in accordance with halacha. And Chafetz Chaim thanked Hashem, thank you, Hashem, wow, what a zchus. You gave me the zchus to write the Mishnah Berurah. Hashem should have been thanking the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim saw it as a zchus, as a privilege, to be able to do the Ratzon Hashem. All right, last but not least, we'll end with this. There's a lot more to see. As you can see, there's a ton of Kedushas Levi in this week's parsha. Turn towards the end of the parsha. It's a short little Torah. Umata ha'elokim biyadi. Yud Zayin, Parak Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes. I don't know if you have the, to give you the Pesukim numbers in there? It's towards the end. See who can find it. Umata ha'elokim. Parak Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes. Kof Ayin, okay? Umatei ha'elokim biyadi. Page Kof Ayin. A small little Torah, but again, a theme that the British has a lot of times. Umatei ha'elokim biyadi perish. Masha Hashem yizbarach matei ha'olam. Ukefi ritzona osa im ha'olam. Matei means what? Matei means a staff. But also, what does the word mean? To lean or to direct. Right? So matei, the way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be noted, to be inclined towards something. The way that Hashem directs the world, ukefi ritzona osa im ha'olam, zehu biyadi. Umata elokim, the way that Hashem drives the world, biyadi. It's in my hand. Basar v'dam, human being, a Jew with an neshama, says this. Sha'ani yachol lahatos ha'olam kefi ritzoni. Because I have the ability, I'm in the driver's seat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has empowered me to what? To set the tone for the world. The choices I make matter. It changed the world. Shani yachol lahatos ha'olam kefi ritzoni. I'm able to direct the world in accordance with my desire. Again, beautiful shot. Umatel Elokim, the way that Hashem directs Himself, is biyadi, is in my hand. Kamayim rechazal mi moshal bi tzaddik. Like the Gemara says, that the tzaddik has the ability to rule over Hashem, to tell Hashem what to do. V'zeh matel Elokim, mash Hashem yizbarach yachol lahatos ha'olam, the way that Hashem directs the world, zeh biyadi, shenimtzer li ha'koach, Shabore Yitzayasosi, that Kadosh Baruch has empowered me to direct the world. It's a big schus, and hopefully we should take it very seriously. So Mirtz Hashem, such beautiful Torahs in the Berditchver, about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael, and the power that Klal Yisrael has to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how thankful we need to be for the opportunity Hashem has given us to serve Him, and Mirtz Hashem, we should not only learn these Torahs, but we should take them to heart and live them as well. Shkoyach. A nigin, a rikud. Let's go, we gotta wake ourselves up a little bit.